At the end of November, the Nome City Council held a public work session and regular meeting to discuss amending the Nome Code of Ordinances to allow sex offenders to be housed at Seaside if they are actively receiving treatment. Before we hear from various individuals who weighed in on this topic, here is a small note. Sometimes you will hear the acronym CRC, which stands for Community Residential Center and refers to Seaside. Also, a couple individuals accidentally say Seaview when they mean Seaside.
I'm Adam Rutherford. I'm the Chief Mental Health Officer for the Alaska Department of Corrections. I'm responsible for overseeing all the mental health, substance abuse, and sex offender treatment services for the department. So the questions that we're asking, I want to make sure I'm answering them correctly, is why not Anvil Mountain, and then why Anvil Mountain maybe and the CRC?
So I think I'd probably use a glib way of saying it is why not at Anvil Mountain and why sex offenders at Seaside, right? Like, why is that the easy answer?
You bet. The easy answer is that we have folks in your community now that are untreated sex offenders, and those folks can't go back into Anvil Mountain, but they need a location for treatment. So that location would be in the community, which would be the CRC. That's probably the simplest answer with that. And then on top of that, what I would say is that we have large enough numbers, actually, of sex offenders that are coming back to this region that we need treatment, actually, at both locations. So we're actually looking at and in the process of opening a treatment program at Anvil Mountain, along with hopefully, if everything goes well, depending either way, we really appreciate you guys considering us, but hopefully at Seaview as well so that we can serve the numbers of folks that need treatment in this region. Unless they're convicted of another crime, they're not going to receive that treatment within a correctional facility. And that's one of the biggest reasons is we're really trying to focus on how we can bring treatment into the rural areas so that we can look at, again, public safety. You know, we don't want folks that are untreated sex offenders in the communities. And on the backside of that is what we often see happening is that these folks are released in the communities. They establish a strong peer group, a peer support. They may have employment. They may be with family. And what we're requiring them to do now is to come back into Anchorage. And they're losing all those resources that they've established in your community. And some of those folks may be coming back homeless, without a job. And we all know that those are kind of key factors that lead to someone else committing a crime. And we don't want that to happen.
How come they're not getting treatment in jail before they're let out?
That's a great question. We honestly just don't have the resources.
All of a sudden you have the resources now?
We do, actually. Yeah, exactly.
So why don't we just treat them in jail now? I mean, what has changed?
You bet. So statewide we have approximately 20 state-certified sex offender treatment providers. And it's laid out in statute how you have all the hoops and things, the training and so forth, that you have to go through to be a sex offender treatment provider. And to be honest, it's not a population that a lot of folks necessarily really want to work with. Just like you have concerns in your communities about these folks, a lot of times mental health providers don't want to be treatment providers working with this population. So we have a very limited pool of folks that are willing to do treatment. Just so happens that we just approved a treatment provider here in Nome. And it's so rare for us, even in Anchorage or in the urban areas, to have treatment providers. And then to have someone actually in your community step up and say, hey, I want to work with this population, someone that's been a resident here for many, many years, that's just a perfect resource for us to be able to utilize in a rural area. So that's why we're really approaching this now, is that we actually have an approved treatment provider here in the Nome area.
According to Rutherford, the treatment program AMCC and Seaside are considering would involve 6 months of treatment at Seaside. Councilman Mark Johnson had a clarification question about the six-month period.
You had mentioned about keeping them in there long, if they were to go to Seaside, that you keep them in long enough to go through a treatment center. Isn't that more based on the penal system as opposed to the treatment system, as far as how much time people spend in jail or spend in Seaside?
And Sandy, you may help me with this one as well. The way we will do that is based on the person's release date. We'll place them potentially in Seaview with enough time to complete that treatment time frame. So they'll still have the same actual release date as what they would have if they were incarcerated in Anvil Mountain, but they would just be they would be serving their time basically at the halfway house.
So they've already served their sentence somewhere else, the bulk of their sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting them at the very end, right before DOC lets them out the door. We put them at Seaside. and then that's a transitional living environment. They will get treatment in there in a confined setting where people can monitor and watch them to make sure they're not drinking, doing drugs, they're following rules. Eventually, once their treatment gets satisfied, they get further into it, then they can transition into employment and getting jobs and becoming productive people while still being monitored by the halfway house, who does surveillance, who does checks, who does sobriety checks and that sort of thing. It's a slow process, and we're only getting them right at the very end. So no matter what, they're coming out. Do we want them coming out of Seaside with treatment, or coming out of Anchorage Jail, Goose Creek, Spring Creek with no treatment at all, right to your streets? That's what we're
right to our
about.
Right to their streets.
Their streets.
Because if they're on probation, we have our field PO here, Kat Clark. If they come out on probation with her, some of them may have to live in this community until they get treatment. Some of them may be not be allowed to go back to their communities. There's a lot of different things that make the situation unique.
As AMCC's Superintendent Sandra Martinson just mentioned, the monitoring of the sex offenders will not stop after their treatment period is over. Councilman Lou Tobin asked how many offenders would be allowed to leave Seaside at times to do community work. Facility Director for GeoCare Bob Weston says 15% of the population at Seaside cannot leave the facility at all.
I understand that these guys are all very well monitored. We know exactly where they're at 24/7, any day, you know, all year long. They have to tell us what their schedule is in advance. We have that schedule is approved. If they're not where they're supposed to be, there's consequences that follow. And the same would go true with any sex offender. If they don't follow the rules, they don't do this or that, there's consequences they're going to follow. And so it's the same process, basically.
Will the coordinators be told if their sex offenders in their work detail?
Probably wouldn't have those individuals on the work details.
A lot of what we're doing is we're crafting the program. So we had to wait for our contract to be signed, and from here forward, we're going to work with Adam, and we have Ed Webster here. He's our sex offender supervisor for the state of Alaska. So he has a wealth of information. He has the statistics you guys might want to know about. And they're going to help us craft this program. So right now, we don't have a program. We're asking permission to change an ordinance to allow us to do this. And then we're going to move forward from there and make it fit our community. So as far as I had understood, we weren't going to allow them to go out initially to do any kind of community work service or anything like that. They're going to be confined in Seaside getting intensive programming. And right before they get out, really close, once they've had a lot more programming, then they start getting a job, making those connections, getting the safety net set up, that sort of thing.
And to answer your question is yes, that's part of the conditions related to any employment related to sex offenders. They have to disclose their offense. So we wouldn't be sending these folks out into the community to a business owner or whomever it might be they might be going to without them knowing that.
Councilman Doug Johnson expressed concern about sex offenders not receiving treatment at AMCC before they are moved to Seaside. Martinson responded by saying that treatment will be happening both at AMCC and Seaside.
So everybody who goes down here will already be, they will already have treatment?
No.
That's
but there'll be
asking.
A minimum custody.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Is that place so full that we can't get people out
it's
here?
It's not about being full. It's about their custody level.
Why can we not provide services for them before they come down here?
We're going to do it in two settings. We're going to do it with a higher custody level inmate out here that's not allowed to go to Seaside at all. And we're going to do it with the people from a different region that we're not allowing down at Seaside for this program. So it's more for people that can't quite fit into that transitional living setting.
It's also for the folks that are already out in the communities on probation,
yes,
that we can't bring back into a facility. We can bring them back into Seaview and have that treatment. So that's a portion of that
so
as well.
So people who are on release can be brought back in to have treatment?
Yes.
To that setting. They can't be brought to us.
We're only putting people from our region down here?
Yes. And then
Norton Sound, yes, right. That's absolutely for the halfway house.
No Kotzebue then?
No Kotzebue.
Out here, Anvil will offer it to the Kotzebue inmates that we're not offering to down here. So we're still going to be giving it to them, but just out here at the facility.
Edward Webster runs the Sex Offender Monitoring Program for the Alaska State Department of Corrections. Webster addressed the City Council during a November 27th work session.
Our biggest concern is public safety. We don't want any more victims. We don't want our community to be victimized at all. And what I can tell you is that's DOC's primary focus also. These guys are going to come out and return to your streets regardless of what we do. They're going to be on probation and parole, hopefully, and I'll be able to treat them and polygraph them and supervise them closely, but not as well as I could if they were in a CRC. That's just a step higher, and it would give me the most amount of supervision I could have, and coupled with treatment, and would give you the best bang for the buck.
But you only have them for 6 months, the last 6 months of their sentence.
No, sir. I'll have them, most of the time I have them for up to 5 years on probation or parole when they first come out. Now, they can't kill their number if they keep going back in or keep coming back out. So
the idea is Seaside, they're out on parole, you can treat them at Seaside? Is that the idea?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
In addition to what you had said, where we're going to get the inmates with the last 6 months there, so it's going to be a combination of the two.
So the worst guys I'm going to treat at the Anvil Mountain, get them treatment inside the facility. The ones that aren't as risky, they're all risky. I'm not ever going to try to sell you that sex offenders aren't risky. The lower risk guys, I'm going to try to put in the CRC, give them treatment there, and then release them to supervision on probation and parole. With the containment model, with polygraphs, with the great PO that you have in the community, which I can't say enough about her. A lot of communities don't have such a dedicated PO.
Again, CRC means Community Residential Center, which refers to Seaside in Nome. You may also hear the acronym PTRP, which is Petition to Revoke Probation. Rutherford will now give us the numbers on sex offenders in our region.
In the Norton Sound region right now, we have 8 individuals that are being supervised for sex offenses. 7 of those have not received treatment.
And they're supervised by who?
By a probation officer.
By Kathy. And that's... She's our field PO.
So how many sex offenders are there a year?
There's about 5 that release a year to the Norton Sound region.
Councilman Mark Johnson then had questions about how many beds sex offenders would fill at Seaside and if that would actually help the DOC's financial situation.
My understanding was the reason for looking at this in the first place, why Commissioner Williams brought it up, was that the state is concerned that they're paying too much money for not enough beds being filled in the facility, and they're looking for other ways to fill those beds. And one way to do it is to fill a need that for this treatment service. And this meeting seemed more focused on the treatment service, and it's 5 to 8 individuals. I don't know how 5 to 8 individuals is going to cure the financial problem that the state is pushing on us to say we might close up this halfway house if we don't put sex offenders in there.
So I think when he says 5 to 8 people, that's 5 to 8 inmates still confined. They're minimum custody inmates that's under Department of Corrections. That's not talking about all the other 8 to 9 that the field PO is at currently supervising that needs the treatment. So combine that, I mean, that's going to boost up that population a lot more to what's being provided there. And we did adjust the contract, you know, if they could speak to this, where it is more favorable to the state. But adding more numbers does make it cheaper for us. So even if it's just 5, it's still benefiting the state.
And adding more resources as well. You know, the commissioner can go advocate for, you know, we have these treatment programs. These are vital to this region. We don't want to remove that resource because it's vital to the region. So having those resources actually in the CRC also helps us advocate from a financial standpoint as well with that.
And my concern, as well as other people that are in there, is that where the location happens to be is right across from our post office where everybody goes, including victims of sexual assault, and the bank where everybody goes, or a number of people go. And so that's one of the main concerns is because of the location, it creates a bigger concern.
Well, understand, too, that what we're talking about with the sex offenders is that they're not going to walk into my door and then be able to walk right back out to go someplace. That's just not going to happen. They're going to come in and say, maybe it's a 6-month program, maybe it's 4 months down the road, or maybe 5, depending on them, before they ever get to walk out that door again. what we want to do is be able to transition them back into our community in a more favorable way. And at Seaside, we can do that. At the jail, they cannot.
One of the concerns was, and I think it's in the in part of the ordinance, is that if they don't participate in the training, back they go.
Back they go.
And then let me finish addressing what you were saying, Councilman Jones. When sex offenders are getting, when they're applying for this program, they're going through this process of whether or not they're going to be selected to go, there's a vetting process. It's not anybody who raises their hand gets to go. It's, you know, while they're going through the process, check with the victim. What does the victim think about this? You know, there's a lot of emphasis put on being sensitive to victims and getting their input prior to doing, and that's with anything. I mean, it's not just sex offenses. The state does that with assault victims, with all sorts of folks. You know, before we allow them to go to Seaside, the PO in the institution checks with the victims.
According to Trey Watson, the senior area manager with Seaside, currently the facility has 62 beds but has a contract with the state for 50 beds. Seaside has positions for 14 full-time and 3 part-time workers. Also, Seaside has reinforced their tinted windows, which does not allow people on the inside or outside to see through them except through a small eye slit. In terms of the proposed treatment that will be given to sex offenders at Seaside, Rutherford has more information on that.
What we use is a combination of cognitive behavior therapy, social learning theory, motivational interviewing, and also, I forgot the other piece with it. But primarily, when we talk about that combination, CBT alone reduces the likelihood of recidivism by 50% in the population.
And you have documentation to?
Yeah, when you use cognitive behavior therapy. Because if you think about a lot of the reoffenses that we're talking about are not sexual reoffenses. A lot of the reoffenses, even with our sex offender population, are other things like PTRPs for drinking or other types of criminal activities. So that the use of the cognitive behavior therapy not only addresses just the sexual deviancy, but it also addresses the other criminogenic needs as well with that. And that's a lot of times what we see with sex offenders in terms of their recidivism rates.
Monday night, Nome City Council will deliberate on the ordinance to allow Seaside to house sex offenders who are actively receiving treatment and to allow released untreated sex offenders who are considered in transit to be placed temporarily at the facility. The ordinance is in the second reading phase and will either pass, fail, or be postponed for a later vote after the December 11th regular meeting. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Davis Hovey.